You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined here in the last week of the regular season by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, Twins still alive in the wild card chase, still hanging around there. What is your outlook here as the Twins wrap things up?
Well, with this last week of the season right now, they're 1.5 games back of the wild card position, but also behind the Angels as well. The Astros are still leading the wild card chase there for that second spot. So the Twins are still in it, you know, only 7 games left, a game and a half. Something they certainly could make up, but they're probably going to have to probably go something like 5-2 over the stretch to be able to make it. So looking at some of those postseason odds, you know, you go on the website at MLB.com, you have those postseason odds. It looks like it's right around 6 or 7%. So it's just tough because there's 2 teams ahead of them right now, you know, with the Angels and the Astros. But, you know, they've got a shot here. Tough series, though, against the Indians, facing some really tough starters, including, you know, Corey Kluber and Carrasco and Anderson. And it's going to be tough. And obviously getting the Royals at the end there, it was kind of interesting to see how much the Royals really kind of throw their A lineup out there just because they've already clinched in those last 3 games we'll be at Target Field. So certainly have a chance, but it kind of looks like they're probably more of a, you know, odds-wise, probably more to, you know, 5 to 15% or so.
Yeah, that does sound about right. The series with the Indians are still mathematically alive, and then the Royals, as of this moment, still playing for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So still, their opponents still have something to go for. Rhett, I want to talk about Urban Santana. 7 strong innings his last time out, allowed 1 run on 6 hits. That is his 6th straight outing of at least 7 innings while allowing 2 runs or fewer. Twins have lost just 1 of those 6 outings. He's got a 1.47 ERA in that stretch. You know, we said before, this guy can't pitch in the postseason for them, but he's certainly doing everything he can to get them through the postseason.
Yeah, exactly. He's really pitching really well right now. Ever since a tough start in Tampa, I think he lasted about, you know, just over 2 innings. He kind of went back to the basics there with pitching coach Neil Allen. Did a big, you know, kind of bullpen session where Allen really kind of worked on a lot of stuff with him, kind of changing his, you know, his landing, his arm angle, everything, kind of really worked on everything with him. He kind of watched it from the press box that day. Maybe Santana said that day they thought he really kind of fixed a lot of things, thought it was going to be a lot better going forward, and sure enough, he was right. I mean, ever since then, he's been lights out. He's been their ace. I'd say he's only lost, you know, the 1 game, and even he didn't lose that game. He didn't lose it in the decision in that game, at least. So he's 4-0 during that stretch. Just pitching really well. He's really kept him in there. He's been a big key for the team. As you said, he's not eligible to pitch in the postseason, but he would be eligible to pitch in a game 163 if there was a tie. But right now, it'd be tough to get him lined up for that just because he'd be going on a short rest. But he is doing everything he can to get him there. And a good sign for the Twins, you know, because when he was pitching so poorly, you're thinking, oh, gosh, you know, he's under contract now for 3 more years after this. You know, this kind of what they're going to get. But sure enough, he's been their ace recently, last month or so, which is even just a good sign for next year and for going forward.
Absolutely, yes, at the very least. And another guy giving him good signs for the future is Tyler Duffy. He's showing no signs of fatigue here down the stretch. We talked last week about how he's in new territory from an inning standpoint and how will that affect both him and how they use him. But he's 5-0 with a 2.17 ERA with 46 strikeouts and 49 two-thirds innings in his last 8 outings. And really was a stopper for them on Saturday after a tough loss on Friday. What have you thought of Duffy's performance here down the stretch?
It's been a big surprise. You know, he got called up. You know, he's a guy that wasn't a huge prospect, but, you know, certainly was a prospect and a guy that, you know, had a good curveball and could locate it. But no one really knew he was going to be this good. You know, that first start, you know, in Toronto, he really struggled, gave a couple homers after giving up 1 homer all year in the minors. And then sure enough, he went back on for 1 quick start in the minors. He came back up again, and ever since then, he's been a different pitcher and has been, you know, very, very, very good for the Twins. That curveball has been great. Gets a lot of strikeouts with it. I think he's only given up 1 home run since that first start, too. So he's keeping the ball in the ballpark, playing that role of stopper. You know, in his previous start, he got the win after the 5-game losing streak to kind of snap that. And then he said the one recently snapped that little 2-gamer after a tough loss in Detroit. So right now, Santana and Duffy have been a major reason why they're still in this. I think that every time those 2 guys start, it gives the Twins a good chance to win. The hard thing with Duffy, as we've talked about, is that innings limit. The Twins have been trying to, you know, kind of be mindful and giving him starts you know, extra rest and that kind of stuff. But he's going to be starting his next start on normal rest. And he's going to be up above, you know, I think about 200 innings, which is a pretty big jump. When last year, I think he only got to about 140 innings. So I'm going to kind of be, you know, interested to see how his arm responds next season. The Twins kind of believe he's one of those guys because, you know, of his larger stature and has good arm action and all that. They're, you know, pretty confident that he can handle this, you know, innings jump. But it's interesting to see, you know, a guy like Jose Berrios, another top prospect, they shut him down. It's a little different case. I mean, Berrios is a little smaller frame type guy. Maybe they're a little bit more worried about him injuring himself. And he's also just a bigger prospect overall than Duffy is. But, yeah, I'm kind of curious. It's been kind of an interesting thing to see the Twins say they're trying to limit his innings. But sure enough, he's probably going to get up over 200 innings now, which is a lot. So hopefully, you know, for the Twins' sake, he'll be able to handle that going into next year. But we've seen cases in the past where guys have gone, you know, many innings over their previous year, and then sure enough, next year they have some arm problems. But hopefully for the Twins' sake this year, he's a big, strong guy. Hopefully he can handle it.
Yeah, sure, that's not how they drew it up going into the year, but, you know, sometimes desperate times or just a playoff push call for desperate measures. And within that, you know, I think we all expected Byron Buxton to be an everyday player here down the stretch, but because the games have such magnitude, they felt they're better off with an outfield of Rosario, Hicks, and Hunter. So Buxton's been playing a lot less lately, but it was nice to see him get his first home run Sunday. Also had an RBI double. What was your takeaway from that, Rhett?
Yeah, that was big. Like you said, right now the outfield with Hunter playing so well in September and Rosario playing well and Hicks actually having, you know, a great second half, it's tough to bench any of those guys for Buxton. He's still kind of, you know, he's had a kind of a rough go up here so far, hitting about 200. But a big, you know, a big game for him. Come out there and finally start. With you know, a lefty on the mound with Randy Wolf out there, they decided to bench Rosario, and Buxton had a big RBI double two to kind of keep that rally going as part of a, you know, 6-run second. Really squared that one up and hit it into the gap, and then the home run was just a good sign. I mean, he looked pretty effortless, hit it up in the air, and just kind of kept going and going and going, and hit that one pretty good. So it was a good sign. He showed plenty of power, and in the minors, I think he's a guy that could probably hit something like, you know, 20 home runs or something like that in the future. It goes along with the kind of speed he has, which is why everyone's, you know, why he's the number one overall prospect. If you have that kind of combination of power and then that elite speed, you know, it's so rare. So just to finally see that in action and see him drive a ball into the gap for a double and seeing it a home run, and I think that's a lot to do with his confidence, too. He knows how big these games are. You know, there's only a week left in the season. We'll kind of see here how much he plays in this last 7 games or so. But, yeah, a good sign to see those home runs or see the home run from him.
Another rookie, and came up since we last spoke, Rhett, Max Kepler, 98th on MLBPipeline.com's list of top prospects, someone from the minors. On Sunday, became the 43rd native of Germany to get that bat in the big leagues, but the first born and actually raised in Germany. This is the first true German. What can you tell me about Kepler as a player?
It's a pretty cool story. You know, a guy that's the son of two ballet dancers in Berlin. His mother is American, but, you know, he grew up in Berlin and definitely a German native, like you said. You know, some of those guys in that list of 43 include, you know, people even like Ron Gardenhire is one of those.
Yeah.
Being born on a naval base over there. And I think even Bruce Bochy might even be German-born as well, too. So, but this is, you know, a true German raised in Berlin and a guy that's really cool because he's trying to raise awareness in baseball in Germany. And I think from what I hear, from what he's been telling us, is that it's starting to kind of become a little more popular over there. He's starting to hold more clinics and camps. But as a player, he had a breakout season in the minors with the Southern League MVP at AA Chattanooga. Hit for a high average, but also for some power. He's always had that big frame, but athletic and a guy that can really run. He finally kind of put it together offensively. I think the coaching staff and the developmental people really deserve a lot of credit because they worked on his swing for the last, you know, he signed as a 16-year-old for $800,000, and sure enough, it's been a great signing for the Twins with the way he's really revamped that swing and kind of developed that power. Changed his mechanics a little bit this year, led to you know, a great season. Like I said, he's one of those guys with a lot of speed too, to steal bases and can handle center field too. He can play all three outfield spots. He can play first base too as a left-hander. He played a lot of that in the minors. So they had Adam with a 40-man last offseason, and he really hadn't had great numbers in the minors at that point. But the, you know, the all the talent you could kind of see was there. And sure enough, finally this year he kind of put it to use. He had a great season, hit a home run, and leading Chattanooga to the Southern League title. So it was a cool chance for him to get called up to the majors. Only got that one at bat in his debut and struck out against veteran lefty Tom Gorzolani. But we'll kind of see how much he plays here. If the Twins, you know, were to fall out of the race, I'm sure they'll give him some playing time. But he's certainly going to be in the mix next year. I have a feeling he'll probably start at AAA, just because the Twins have a lot of outfield options next year. But you got to figure he's definitely going to get some playing time next year up in the majors, and to certainly put himself in the higher status with the Twins.
And Rhett, while we're on the topic of rookies, got to talk about Miguel Sano for 1 second. He, of course, is in the running for AL Rookie of the Year. He's in running for the Esurance MLB Award for Best Rookie. But he already won a major award. He won Best New Dancer in the Twins Clubhouse at the Torrey Awards. There are a lot of those. Let's see. Eduardo Escobar was the surprise dancer. Trevor Plouffe had perfect attendance. Eddie Rosario got the Lifetime Achievement in Smoothness. Torrey Hunter really went all out with these awards, didn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It was a really cool thing. I mean, all year, as we talked about before, they've been doing these dance parties after all the wins. And sure enough, Torrey decided to hold an award show and actually made little trophies for all the guys. And so, yeah, some of the good ones, like you said, it's pretty funny. I talked to Plouffe after it. He's like, really? I get perfect attendance? But he's like, you know what? I guess you're telling me I can't dance, but at least I'm trying. So it's just kind of funny to see that. And Sano, big guy, but apparently they say he moves pretty well. And then Shane Robinson got the MVP pretty much as the best dancer. I think my favorite one, too, was Glenn Perkins getting creepiest.
Creepiest
he wasn't even
dancer,
the creepiest dancer. He was actually the creepiest watcher of the dancers. So I don't even know what that means. But it was one of those things that keeps the guys loose. And apparently, too, talking to some of the players, Torrey also kind of addressed the team in a serious note and said, hey, guys, like, let's kind of get this kind of late in the season. And he's just been that veteran leader all year. You know, you talk to some of the Royals players from last year, and Raul Urbanez was an older guy that really was kind of the team veteran leader. It really helped him. He didn't have an impact on the field the way that Torrey has, but there's something to be said about having kind of a veteran guy in that clubhouse to keep some of those younger guys loose and kind of keep them mind focused there in the stretch run. And so that award show is just kind of another example of Torrey being that kind of clubhouse captain that he is.
Absolutely. Torrey Hunter was one of the best off-season signings because of the influence and the unexpected performance, even. I think we went into the year expecting this to be his last hurrah, but showing he still has a lot in the tank. We'll not be surprised to see him back with the Twins in 2016. But for now, there's still something to play for here in 2015. I want to thank Rhett Bollinger for joining us to talk about all of that. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.